The International Crane Foundation is looking for volunteers to help count the population of sandhill and whooping cranes. It's Thursday, March 30th. This is Wisconsin Today. Good morning, I'm Hope Kerwin. Coming up, we've got more details about the man arrested in connection with the attack on the Madison offices of an anti-abortion organization last year. And Sean Johnson has the first of two candidate profiles for next week's highly watched state Supreme Court race. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The Baraboo-based International Crane Foundation is seeking volunteers for its annual crane count. They'll visit wetlands and other birding spots across Wisconsin to look and listen for the birds. Rob Mincer has more.
Volunteer birders will count sandhill cranes, which are common across Wisconsin. Every year, a few volunteers also spot the endangered whooping crane. The Crane Foundation says the event helps to track the population of both species and identify new areas where the birds are nesting. Sarah Gavney Moore coordinates the count. She says cranes spend their winters in the southeastern United States. They start to return to Wisconsin in February, and by April, most have arrived.
The birds are making their way up that far north, but then they also haven't yet started their nesting, so they're not as secretive. So you have a better chance of seeing and hearing them during the survey.
The April 15th event will include nearly 2,000 volunteers in seven Midwestern states. Rob Mincer, Wisconsin Public Radio.
The drug naloxone, or Narcan, saves lives by reversing opioid overdoses. The FDA today approved the over-the-counter sale of the nasal spray. That means people will no longer need a prescription. In Wisconsin, more than 1,400 people died of opioid-related overdoses in 2021. That's up by 16% from 2020. Armando Suarez de Real is the deputy chief for the West Allis City's Fire Department.
Not everyone is willing to accept recovery services or are willing to discontinue use. So if we have means to keep people alive until they're ready for recovery, I think that's huge.
Through the State Health Department's Narcan Direct program, agencies can provide the drug for free. DHS said in a briefing yesterday it will continue to fund and expand the program. The person arrested Tuesday in connection with an attack on an anti-abortion group's Madison building was once a University of Wisconsin-Madison student. Anya Van Wagtendonk has more on what we know about the alleged perpetrator.
Ridindu Roy Chowdhury received his Ph.D. in biochemistry from UW-Madison last spring. While earning his doctorate, he also worked in a campus biomedical engineering lab. Roy Chowdhury was arrested in Boston by federal authorities. He is being charged with using an incendiary device in an attack on the Wisconsin Family Action Building last spring. A UW spokesperson said Roy Chowdhury is no longer affiliated with the university. Court documents say that he is a Madison resident. The alleged attack came days after a leaked opinion from the U.S. Supreme Court suggested that an end to Roe v. Wade was imminent. That sparked protests from pro-abortion activists across the country. Wisconsin Family Action declined to comment on the arrest. Anya Van Wagtendonk, Wisconsin Public Radio.
More than 150 residents have been evacuated from Milwaukee apartments after air tests showed high levels of a chemical used in adhesives and paint removers. Testing at the former industrial site showed indoor air levels of trichloroethylene, or TCE, beyond safe levels for sensitive groups. The site has been converted into apartments as part of a roughly $70 million affordable housing project. The Milwaukee Health Department issued an evacuation order for residents on Saturday. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources had recommended that people should not occupy the building until testing a system designed to remove the chemical. Shane LaFave with development firm Rowers Companies says residents began moving into the building as far back as October. LaFave says tests had been done to ensure the system was working properly.
And so there was no reason for us to believe that there was TCE present in the air.
High exposure to the chemical can cause headaches, cancer, or death. Coming up after the break, we've got our first of two profiles of the candidates for next week's state Supreme Court race. Stay with us.
You know you can count on WPR for news that's important, music that makes your day better, and conversations that make you think. We hope you'll make a financial contribution to support the radio service you rely on, and in fact, we count on it. The single largest portion of our budget comes from listener support. If you're not a member yet, make a gift of any amount today at WPR.org. Thank you.
Wisconsin Supreme Court elections were once obscure, low-turnout affairs. Otherwise reliable voters often stayed home. Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz is doing everything she can to prevent that this year. And she's getting a big assist from the Democratic Party. As Sean Johnson reports, Protasiewicz has been open about her personal beliefs on issues that could come before the court.
On a Saturday night in March, people lined up down the block outside the Barrymore Theater on Madison's east side. The featured act that night, a live recording of the national show Pod Save America, was in town to bring attention to Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. At the front of the line is Madison resident Ariel Hendrickson, who says the election boils down to two issues.
Abortion rights and making sure that gerrymandering does not get any worse in our state.
Person after person says the same thing. And Sheila Hosseini of Madison says people understand the stakes of the race, which could flip the court from a conservative to a liberal majority for the first time in 15 years.
Probably. I mean, I know people keep saying this, but this is probably one of the most important elections for Wisconsin, especially because reproductive rights are on the line.
Protasiewicz says she decided to run for the court precisely because it's so important. Prior to being a judge, she spent decades as a Milwaukee County prosecutor. Whoever wins Wisconsin's Supreme Court race will likely hear a challenge to the state's pre-Civil War abortion ban. Protasiewicz is facing former state Supreme Court Justice Dan Kelly. He's backed by Republicans and endorsed by the state's three anti-abortion groups.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the stage Judge Janet Protasiewicz.
During a brief interview in front of a packed theater at the Pod Save America recording, Protasiewicz is asked what kind of difference she could make on abortion rights if she wins.
So I'll tell you this. I have been very, very forthright that my personal value is that women have a right to choose.
She's also asked about Wisconsin's Republican-drawn legislative districts. Protasiewicz calls the maps rigged. And she adds,
I would certainly welcome the opportunity to have a fresh look at our maps.
The Democratic voters in this auditorium know her message, possibly because they've had a chance to hear it everywhere. Protasiewicz has shattered campaign fundraising records thanks to millions of dollars in transfers from the state Democratic Party. That same night, party chair Ben Wickler frames the stakes in presidential terms. He asks Democrats to imagine it's election night in 2024. The eyes of the nation are on swing state Wisconsin. A lawsuit is filed, and the court's conservative majority stops the count.
And record scratch, freeze frame, you think to yourself, in 2023, I had a chance to stop this guy from getting on the Supreme Court and casting that deciding vote.
There are those who think the level of political drama playing out in Wisconsin's Supreme Court race is inappropriate. Former Supreme Court Justice Jeanine Geske was appointed to the court in 1993 and won election in 1994. She thinks court races have gotten too political and says both sides are to blame.
You know, historically, when we ran, and I ran a long time ago, we wouldn't go anywhere near talking about an issue that might come before the court.
Kelly has been far more guarded about sharing his personal views. He argues Protasiewicz crossed a line by sharing hers. Supreme Court races are still technically nonpartisan, but people who show up to see Protasiewicz in Madison are okay with the way she talks about the race. Carol Drysdale says it's a nice idea that a justice could be completely objective.
That someone can leave behind everything that they are and everything that they have experienced and lived through and just leave it all at the door and be completely objective. But that's not how human beings work.
Drysdale says there's more at stake in this race than just purely judicial matters. She says she knows where Protasiewicz stands on issues like abortion rights and says that's why she's voting for her. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Tomorrow we'll have a profile of Protasiewicz's opponent, Dan Kelly. Thanks for joining us for Wisconsin Today. I'm your host, Hope Kerwin, in this week for Alex Crow. Our producers are John Davis and Bridget Bowden. Catch us wherever you get your podcasts every weekday morning. You can find more news anytime at WPR.org. We'll see you back here tomorrow.